Better days are coming, Rex, I said, giving him an apple slice. From here on in, it's all apples and broccoli. I'd gotten a city map at the supermarket, and I spread it out on my table while I picked at dinner. Tomorrow, I'd be methodical about searching for the blue van. I'd check the area surrounding the gym, and I'd also check out Ramirez's home address. I hauled out my phone book and looked up Ramirez. 23 were listed. 3 had B as the first initial. There were 2 Benitos. I dialed the first Benito, and a woman answered on the 4th ring. I could hear a baby crying in the background. Does Benito Ramirez, the boxer, live there? I asked. The reply came in Spanish and didn't sound friendly. I apologized for disturbing her and hung up. The second Benito answered his own phone and was definitely not the Ramirez I was looking for. The 3 B's were also dead ends. It didn't seem worthwhile to call the remaining 18 numbers. In a way, I was relieved not to have found him. I don't know what I would have said. Nothing, I suppose. I was looking for an address, not a conversation. And the truth is, the very thought of Ramirez sent a chill to my heart. I could stake out the gym and try to follow Ramirez when he left for the day, but the big red Cherokee wasn't exactly inconspicuous. Eddie might be able to help me. Cops had ways of getting addresses. Who else did I know who had access to addresses? Marilyn Truro worked for the DMV. If I had a license plate number, she could probably pull an address. Or I could call the gym. Nah, that'd be too easy. Well, what the hell, I thought. Give it a shot. I'd torn the page advertising the gym out of my phone book, so I dialed information. I thanked the operator and dialed the number. I told the man who answered the phone that I was supposed to meet Benito, but I'd lost his address.
Sure, he said. It's 320 Polk. Don't know the apartment number, but it's on the 2nd floor. It's at the rear of the hall. Got his name on the door. Can't miss it.
Thanks, I told him. Really appreciate it. I pushed the phone to the far corner of the table and turned to the map to place Polk. The map showed it to be at the edge of the ghetto, running parallel to Stark. I circled the address with yellow marker. Now I had 2 sites to search for the van. I'd park and go on foot if I had to, prowling through alleys and investigating garages. I'd do this first thing in the morning, and if nothing developed, I'd go back to the stack of FTAs Connie had given me and try to make some rent money doing nickel-and-dime cases.